John 17 is part of the prayer of intercession. Jesus is praying, if you'll look at it, all the way up until the point of him going to pray, of the Lord's Supper, of his arrest. All of this time is spent in prayer. He's talking to the Father as he's getting ready to leave. He's really just going through things and making sure, is there anything we've left out? A board meeting. He and the Father just, you know, talking about it, looking at it, just making sure, is there anything that's left undone? But he makes a statement in here. He says, I have finished the work. And he says that even before he goes to the cross. So there was a definite, all the stuff that Jesus did while he was here, we like to say, well, he came and he came to die for us. But he came to do so much more than that. He came and established a pattern for us. He came and established the church. The church was in existence when Jesus died on the cross. He put it together. He formed it. And so he had done that work. He had given a pattern for living, a pattern for ministry. He had given us the great example. You see, our example is not our pastor, though he ought to be an example. Our example is not other people in the church, though we ought to be examples. But our example is Jesus. Our standard is Jesus. When we're comparing ourselves and trying to figure out if we're doing what's right, you know, we can compare ourselves with other people, and what would we determine? I'm pretty good. Right? And we compare ourselves to other people and we may even think, oh, I'm falling short. I should be as good as that person. No, you're not supposed to be that person. That person has their job to do and you have your job to do. We're supposed to be looking to Christ and following His example. But look at what He says. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Do you remember what He told His mom? At the recording of His very first miracle, mine hour is not yet come. Why? This is not my party, Mom. As she said, they're out of wine. He said, that's not my problem. This is not why I'm here. But of course, she said, y'all do whatever He tells you to do. And so He told them, get the pots, put the water, pour the water. And they poured the water and the water became wine. And so even though it wasn't His hour, but now He says, mine hour has come. So that's this moment. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power, talking about himself, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is eternal life. I love every verse in this chapter. This is just good stuff. This is life eternal, that they might know thee. Wow. That's what it's about. That's what this life is about. I don't even remember who I was talking to the other day. It was yesterday. I do remember now. And I was talking about someone who's lost and just got diagnosed with cancer and doesn't have hope and doesn't have a direction. And so now he's beginning to panic and beginning to wonder what's next and what do I do and what if I don't get over it and what if I die? And the one thing he needs most is faith. The one thing he knows that he needs is Jesus. He doesn't know that yet. And then I could tell you about another guy who's got cancer and the doctors have said that's all we can do. Hospice has now been called in. He's gone to Spain. He's gone to Mexico looking for alternative treatment, looking for some cure. But the cure's not there. And he's dying and he's in those final maybe weeks. And he called and he said, I need somebody to come pray with me. You see, he understands. Now, he's been saved 20 years maybe longer than that. He's been saved. He's been out of God's will. He's been out of the church. But now, as the end is near, he says, I need to pray. I need someone to come pray with me. He's returning to his faith. We need faith. And Jesus says, life eternal is not about streets of gold and pearly gates and crystal seas and wonderful music and bright lights. And it's not about peace and never being hungry. It's not about never having diseases. Eternal life is about one thing. To know God. To have unity. To have harmony with the Creator, with the Almighty. To be in harmony with God. That is peace. Boom. And Jesus says, this is life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou sent. Well, that's what it's all about. Church is great. Salvation is about God. Salvation is about Jesus. That's what it's about. And if we ever lose sight of that, well, we do lose sight, though, don't we? We say, well, you're supposed to go to church. Salvation is about our relationship with God. It's and does church help us in that? It should. Has church ever hurt your relationship with God? Yeah, I imagine it has. Sometimes things that happen in the church that push us away, that question and challenge our faith, that give us a trial. And we shouldn't have that at church. We want to have this close relationship. We want to have worship, and we want to have peace, and we want to have joy and love. Well, that's what life eternal is about. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified thee. Who are we supposed to exalt? Who are we supposed to lift up? Who are we supposed to praise? Who are we supposed to be telling people about? Man, it's great to tell people about our church. I'm glad to see when people brag on the church, because it's a great church. But our job is to brag on the Lord. Our joy is supposed to be in the Lord. Our hope is supposed to be in the Lord. Jesus says, I've exalted you. I've glorified you. And look at what he says. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. How far behind are you? How far behind are we in the work the Lord's given us to do? You see, every time that we sin, we pull ourselves off the job. Every time that we sin, we pull ourselves out of commission. Why do I say that? Because God designed us to live a perfect and holy life. You say, but then why did he send Jesus? Because he knew we wouldn't do it. He knew that we'd fall short. He knew that we'd fail. He knew that we'd sin. But he designed a perfect life for us. And every time that we get waylaid by sin, what does the Bible say? It says the sin that does so easily beset us, it takes us off course. So every time we fall further and further behind, every time we sin, and doing the work that he's given us to do, we fall short in sins of omission, not doing what God's called us and equipped us and led us to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was. When did Jesus begin? He has no beginning. Before the world was, I have manifest thy name to the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. You know, it's remarkable to me that when he says that, he says the words. Every word in this book matters. Every word matters. Now, I know sometimes I stumble and read over and pass up a word. Every word matters. We can't change it. Because if it's different, it's not the same. And he says, the words. I gave them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Have you ever met somebody that won't receive the word of God? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know what the Bible says. Well, I got news for you. I can't help you if you don't believe this book. I can't. I can't. I mean, I can give you food, but that only goes so far. The help comes from God. And I have known surely that they have known surely that I have come. I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. He's given us an example. What's his example? Give them the word. Give them the words. What's his example? I pray for them. That's his example. What's his example? I finish the work. What's his example? I have manifest your name. I've glorified you. And when they look at me, I point them to you. He's Jesus. And yet he sends the glory to the Father. I pray for them. Not for the world, but for them. Which thou hast given me. For they are thine. All mine are thine. Thine are mine. I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world. but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. What is life eternal? That they may know thee and Jesus Christ. You see that harmony, that unity, that oneness with God. And he says, I'm not even in the world anymore. Remember when he was, I believe he was in Jericho, and they said, you don't even want to be here, do you? Remember that? Because he had his mind, his heart, his eyes, his vision set on Jerusalem. He was ready for the cross. He was ready to finish the work. And they said, you don't even want to be here. And the apostles kind of got upset. And they said, well, nobody showed up to your meetings. Nobody came to greet you. But they could tell he had his heart somewhere else. He was just on his journey. He wasn't there to minister. He was on his way somewhere. And now he says, I'm not even in the world anymore. Look at what he says in verse 11. I'm no more in the world. I'm gone. I'm done. My work here is finished. I'm not having any more church. I'm not feeding any more 5,000s. I'm not healing anybody else. I'm done. My work is complete. My heart has moved on to the cross so I can be, look at what it says, so that I can be with you. Where does he say it? And I am come to thee, verse 13. These things I speak in the world that they might have joy, my joy fulfilled in themselves. Again, we said Sunday, that love, that joy, he says that they might have this joy, my joy fulfilled in them. There's nothing wrong with stuff. But stuff won't bring you joy. It's fun, but it's temporary. How many of you ever bought something and you thought, boy, when I have that, I'm just going to never want anything else in my life? Anybody ever do that? And then you bought it and you said, yeah, that was fun. Right? Then the insurance bill keeps coming. That's what happens. Except for with motorcycles, right, Thurman? Yeah. I'm sorry getting on you. That's what happens, though. We think that it's going to satisfy us, and it does for just a minute. It gives us fun, but it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't give us joy. And the Lord says, these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Joy. Scripture. Word, speak. Where does the joy come from? The Word. We can't have joy, we can't be satisfied until we know our purpose. And we cannot know our purpose outside of God's Word. We can't. And once we know God's purpose, we can't be satisfied unless we're living in God's purpose. Unless we're satisfying God's purpose. I go back to this, and I know y'all probably get tired of hearing me say this, but I could take you to pastors who were in the ministry, and something waylaid them, some sin beset them, and somebody told them, you can't do this anymore, you got to get out of the ministry, and they're out of the ministry. And you know what the ministry they're in now? They're hooked on drugs, or they're hooked on alcohol. Why? Because they can't be satisfied. There's nothing that's going to satisfy them. They're looking everywhere they can to be fulfilled, but it's not out there. The only way to satisfy it is in the Lord and with God's Word and with God's will. Verse 14, I have given them thy Word. What did he say up here in verse 8? I have given unto them the words. That matters. Now he says, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because these guys, they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. We can't be worldly. And people are looking to see if we are. People who want to know if what we have is sincere. People who want to know if what we have is genuine. They want to see our reaction. They want to see our actions. Mostly our reactions. But they want to see our actions. Verse 15. I pray, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. You ever think about that? Lord, if you'd have just saved me, if you'd have just taken me to heaven when I got saved, I never would have sinned again. And I wouldn't feel guilty, and I would have been perfect if you would have just taken me out as soon as I got saved. But then who would be left to share the message? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So the Lord Himself, our Savior, our Mediator, our Intercessor, is praying for us. This is His example. This is His pattern. Praying for us, not that we should leave the world, but that we should be safely functioning within the world. And that the Lord would keep us from the evil. From the evil. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I think it's in Peter. He says, they think it strange that you run not with them. They think it's strange. You know, people want us to go do things and it's just not fun to us. Why? Because we're not of this world. The attraction, the things that attract and inspire the flesh no longer inspire us. Why? Because we're not of this world. We've been redeemed. I love verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I mean, I don't know. Heads are exploding everywhere, right? Isn't that so? When we lose our faith, when our faith is tried, when we lose our joy and our joy is challenged, when our love is waning, dissipating, what do we need to do? Get in the Word. I remember I was in Bible college. I was a preacher. I was a youth pastor. And my faith was challenged. And I don't know. I don't even remember why. But it just occurred to me one day that I was wasting my time. What in the world is this all about anyway? The whole world doesn't believe. Here's this little group of us and we're living here in this college. And man, this is all it's about is the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. And I was so sick of it. Y'all ever get there? I hope not. But I said, what's it all about? Is it even real? Is it even true? This can't even be real. This can't even be true. And I started reading the Bible. And you know what the Bible did? It cured me. The Bible healed me. The Bible restored my joy. The Bible restored my faith. Why? Thy Word sanctifies them. That's what sets us apart. You want to know what separates this church from all the other churches out there? When all the other people are coming around looking for some place to go and looking to feel churched again, you know what separates it? The Word. The truth. That's what it is. And people don't understand. Well, what's going on? Is it the music? People are running from some of the music that goes on in some of these churches around here. Yes. That is true. But mainly it's running to the Word. I don't know why pastors and preachers and ministries and denominations have lost their way. Where are we? Verse 18. Here it is. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. I was driving in Fort Lauderdale. It was the first church I had accepted as pastor. It was actually in Miramar. I was driving down Pembroke Road, looking around. Y'all been to South Florida lately in the last 30 years? And I said, God, this can't be right because all that's here is a bunch of sinners. If the world runs out of sinners, I'll be out of business. And God said, that's the target audience. Might not have been His exact words, but I got the point. I mean, who did you think I was sending you to? What do you think your job is as a church? What do you think your job is as a Christian? What do you think your job is as a pastor? I was clueless. But he clued me in. Sinners. By the way, not just lost sinners. Saved sinners too.
Amen.
We are sent into the world. Verse 19. I won't even say it, but you know what I mean. I love this verse. Look at verse 19. Look at what he says. I sanctify myself. Okay. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So Jesus says, for their sake, I had to sanctify myself. Well, why don't you do this? You know why? Because people expect more of a Christian. And I have to sanctify myself, even if it's legal in the Bible. I have to sanctify myself because it would destroy my testimony, even if it's just because of the traditions we have. I still have to live within traditional roles. I still have to do traditional things, not because it's... I wouldn't be breaking any laws. I wouldn't be breaking any sin. I wouldn't be going to hell. That's not the reason I don't do some things. Some things I don't do just because it'll offend people against the gospel. So I have to sanctify myself. I have to keep myself straight, not because I'm trying to stay clean to get to heaven. That's settled.
Amen.
I have to keep myself right because I got to reach other people. That's why. Jesus says, I sanctify myself for their sakes, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Pattern. What was his pattern? He said, I live a certain way of discipline for them. We looked at last week. It goes right along with Romans 14. We looked at last week. And Paul said, you know, there's some things that aren't against the rules. It's fine. But the problem is it becomes a stumbling block. And we can't make other people stumble and hurt their faith. So we got to be careful around some people that are a little bit weaker in faith, and they don't have the same liberty. They don't have the same understanding. Verse 20. What's he saying in verse 20? Somebody break it down to me real simply. Pahokee translation. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. How'd you get saved, Brother Andy?
I heard the word, heard the preaching.
What'd you hear?
I heard that all of us were saved.
Okay. Who told you that?
A preacher.
Where'd he get it?
Right here.
Which shall believe on me through their word. So would you say their word? That's where you got it? Jesus said, I don't just pray for these, but for them also which shall believe through their word. So he is praying for who? He prayed for me.
Yeah.
Jesus, before he went to the cross, prayed for us. He said, I'm praying for these, but not just for these, because these guys are going to have an impact. And the ones who hear that are going to have an impact. And the ones who hear that are going to have an impact. And even all the way down here, they're going to still be looking at their word. Is that plain? Jesus was praying for you and me in verse 20. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, that the world may believe. You ever get narrow in your vision? We sometimes get narrow in our vision. We got a lot of work to do, don't we? There are a lot of people who need Jesus. And those people will reach people. And those people will reach people. But not until we reach them. We've been reached. We need to reach others. Look at verse 26. Again, in verse 24, he says, before the foundation of the world. Y'all already know that. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. What does that mean? I'm going to let you answer the question this time. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me. Whose love is that? May be in them. Do we have in us the love of God? Have we put a lid on it, sealed it? Or are we allowing it to flow? The love of God. There's a difference in my love and my capacity to love and God's capacity to love through me. Which would you rather have?
Take charity.
Take God's love.
Take charity.
God's love. That's what we want. So when we are making a decision whether or not or how to love someone, we need to put ourselves behind God's love. This is the prayer Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. And he says to the Father, I finished it. I finished it. I finished the work you gave me to do. I've established a church. I've given the gospel. I've shown them the way. I've given them a pattern of living. I've shown them what love is. I've shown them what service is. I've shown them what heaven is. I finished it. Now, he would go to communion. He would go to Gethsemane. He would go to the cross. And he would say, it's finished. That's a different, separate work. Good stuff. Let's stand.